Golf Smarter number 529, published on March 1, 2016. Legendary golf instructor Harvey Penick's Important Basics with Jim Hopkins of the Harvey Penick Golf Academy.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights to lower your score and raise your golf IQ. To hear the full interview and access hundreds of Golf Smarter episodes, sign up for premium access at golfsmarter.libsyn.com. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jim.
Hey, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you doing?
Very good. Another beautiful day in Austin, so, you know, how can I go wrong?
Yeah, right. You know, I just got back from Austin yesterday and had a phenomenal weekend. First time I'd been to Austin, and I'm so glad I got to do it for golf. It's really a fun city. I really had a great time.
It's true. It's a lot of fun, a lot to do, pretty much anything you want to do, but especially someone who likes golf, it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, it is. And Friday night, we went out to Topgolf. I gotta tell you, I've never witnessed anything like that before. I'm so excited for that company to really expand because, you know, what was bowling in the 50s and 60s, right? I think this could take over. It's just a great night out for, you know, whether you just do the family with the kids or you double date with some friends. Or, you know, you have some, what we did, we had four guys who ate dinner and we drank and we, you know, hit balls for hours. It was just, Topgolf's amazing. So I was really glad I got to see it in Austin.
Yeah, it's a cool place. And you're right, but it's my wife has been with some friends, but I've never been, you know, so she's been there and hit some golf balls and stuff, but I've never been over there. So it's great for that type of golfer. And she really enjoyed it. She had a great time. They had a lot of laughs. So
you should go out there with your daughter. The three of you should go out there one night. You think you'd all have a lot of fun. You know, they have targets that are 20 yards and 50 yards away. So for kids, it's great. And they have kids clubs. They have a whole set of U.S. kids clubs that you can just check out. It's
very
great.
Cool. Yeah, we will. Yeah, anyway.
But on our first morning there, we got to spend some time with you at the Harvey Penick Academy for an hour or so. And then we had a wonderful lunch. And then we stayed on the property and played at the Wolf Dancer Golf Club. That's all part of the Hyatt Regency on the outskirts of Austin. That's a really impressive facility all the way across.
It's something else, isn't it? Yeah, from the golf course, you know, where I spend all my time, and the driving range over to the resort and all the things you can do with the pool area and the animals they have over there. It's just, and it's so secluded, you know, you seem like you're going down a road that you're never going to get there once you turn off the main highway. But it does feels like you're out there on your own. That's kind of what they want. They want to get you out there and just, you know, let's just stay here for a few days. What else would I do?
Yeah, exactly.
Not a bad place to have as an office.
No, it's true. It's not a bad place to have as an office. So let's go into your red book.
Yes,
that you give out. Tell me, like, this is a compilation of what? So you give that these to each of your students who come to the Harvey Penick Academy.
Yes. Harvey wrote four books. He wrote the Little Red Book. Mm-hmm. He wrote we name them by color because they all have different colors. So the other three all have names. There's the Green Book, which is, if I believe the official title is, "And If You Play Golf, You're My Friend." There's the Yellow Book, the Beige Book, which was lessons in teaching for women. Okay. And there was the Blue Book, I believe it's called The Game for a Lifetime, which was considered more for advanced players. Was kind of, that one was actually completed after he passed away. That was completed in late 95, early 96. Like I said, he passed away April 2nd, 95. All four great books, but his books are not formatted like most golf books. In other words, there's not a putting section, a chipping section, a different – it's spread out all through the book. Mm-hmm. As an instructor, that made it hard to really find things that you wanted to – you know, if there was a specific thing you wanted to talk about or something you remembered reading, it was really hard to find. So I put that book together actually for myself back probably in the late 90s, early 2000s. Just went through all four of the books and kind of just laid out each thing by, as a student told me, it's kind of the cliff notes of Harvey's books. Just laid them out a little more in the format. And then we used it as a training manual for new instructors. New instructor would come in who didn't really have, let's say you were coming to teach with us. got a good swing, you could come teach with us. Needed to learn a little more about Harvey. Well, we give you that and all four of Harvey's books. So you could use it as a study guide and read it. Well, when I took over the academy, I decided I was going to cut it down and make a little shorter version. I'm like, nah, I'll just give it to the students like it is. It's only about 30 pages or so, fairly concise. I'm like, I'll let the students have it. They can read it and use whatever resources in there. If they want to really research it, great. They can really take the books and really read through it. If they want to just read it as information, it'll really remind them of what they learned while they were at the academy. So it's just that. It's just a resource. For learning and instruction. I still use it. I hear from other instructors who have been at the academy, and they say they still use it. So that's good. That makes me feel good if it helps people learn a little more about this game.
And I love the fact that you put references in it so it can take you directly to the page section from Harvey's book.
Right.
To me, this was – yeah, I love how you put – Harvey believed that, bullet point, bullet point, bullet mm-hmm. point, bullet point. And you open with the basics that 9 out of 10 problems with the swing begin with the grip or the stance.
Correct.
Let's start with the grip.
Okay, yes.
And the problems that everyone's blaming on lifting their head, right. on there's so many things that people blame. Nuances that people will blame on a bad shot, not right. about their game. They blame bad shots,
mm-hmm.
but you're saying start with your grip.
You know, I don't think there's very, very small minority of golfers that have ever come through the academy that we haven't changed their grip in some way.
Mm-hmm.
For most average golfers, pretty dramatically sometimes from what it would be. I had a gentleman in the academy this weekend, 71-year-old gentleman, and that was he needed a little bit of change in his left hand grip. Really, the reason for that is the especially we'll speak as right handed golfers. With your left hand on the club, there really is a position that left hand should be in for every person. Now, maybe slightly different. And it really relates to how your arm hangs. That's the way Harvey talked about it. Your arm hangs at a certain angle. You just let your arm, we have all students do this, just let your arm hang at your side in its normal position. Whatever position that hand is in at that time, we need to learn how to place our hand on the club that way. Harvey always used that word. We don't grip it. We don't hold it. We place our hand on the club. So we place it right there. And really what we're trying to do is make sure we get our wrist and the pad of our hand up on top of the club so you can support it. We hear a lot of times, you hear the terms a weak grip or a strong grip.
Right.
So-and-so's got a weak grip or strong grip. That's really just talking about what kind of leverage control you have over the club. And I show that to students. I'll have them hold the club up, and if they turn their hand just slightly underneath a little bit and hold the club up, it'll feel real heavy. If they get their hand more up on top of the club, all of a sudden they feel like, oh, wow, that feels light. I feel like I can use that. I'm like, well, yeah, that's why it feels stronger. It has nothing to do with I hit it left, I hit it right, I hook it, I slice it. You can do either one. But it's just about control. Once you have control of it with your left hand, then we're just trying to place the right hand on there and it's in a natural position that goes with that. And as most people have heard, we've heard about the V's formed by the thumb and the left mm-hmm. hand that point towards the right shoulder. Most people, they just generally point there. We're not trying to point them there. That's just where they point when you placed your hand on the club properly. It's not you just do it. We talk about, you'll hear instructors talk, and Harvey talked about it too, about seeing 2 or 3 knuckles on the back of your left hand, and that means you've got a stronger grip. Harvey said he didn't like to see people being knuckle counters, you know, and staring at the back of their hand, which is true because, you know, trying to look, you can look down, see all of them. Yeah, I see all four. You know, they're all there. It's more about just getting that placement on. So we spend a lot of time with that. For some students, that's can be miraculous. It really can. They can all of a sudden control the club. They can swing it with a little bit of authority. They can get both some distance and some accuracy out of what they're trying to do. Especially ladies. If a lady has a poor grip, they really almost can't swing the club with any speed. Just 99% of ladies just don't have the hand and arm strength that the average man does, so they can't generate that type of force. Their swing and the rhythm of their swing a lot of times is much better than a lot of guys, but just the strength to it is not what it should be. So that's where we have to begin, and getting everybody to get more comfortable. And initially, that feels if you've done it for a while the wrong way, if you'll remember the little clinic I did for you guys, I didn't change any of your grips.
I know.
Saw a couple of that just because in that time frame with y'all going out to play, it probably would not have been beneficial at all. It would have just given you a thing to think about that would have been too much.
Well, yeah, and doing a clinic right before a round of golf was probably not a great idea. But timing as it was, I can tell you, though, that every one of us walked away with at least one nugget that we commented on during our round going, boy, this really is making a difference. So,
well, I'm very glad. Thank you for that. I'm glad to hear that.
Absolutely.
And that's all, you know, it's. Yeah, you're right. In a golf lesson, well, just an example. I told you I had a gentleman this weekend I was working with, and it was just the two of us. I waited till it was either late on the first day to early the second day before I changed his grip, just because it was okay, and he had some other problems like posture and setup that were not nearly as good. Usually in an academy, we don't wait that long. We do it first morning, get it out of the way. Let's as we always say, if you get real comfortable with your grip on the first day, and you don't really learn anything else, you had a good day. If you learned a bunch of stuff and your grip still is messed up, you're gonna struggle. You're gonna really struggle to accomplish anything. So
I found this to be a very powerful line. Without a doubt, the stronger grip is better for the average golfer. Few golfers are strong enough or dedicated enough to play with their V's pointed to their noses. However, if the ball is flying well, there's no need to change the grip. A strong grip can be overdone. But I think it's really fascinating because I just went to a strong grip in the last few months, end of last year. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my golfing life, I'm hitting a draw consistently.
Right. I remember you saying that, right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's because the instructor I was working with that day put me on a stronger grip. I brought my right hand down, rotated it underneath a little bit.
Right.
But I know there's times where I'm feeling like I've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the proper placement for a strong grip? What's the proper placement for your hand, your right hand?
Right. Well, it's hard to say exactly because it can vary individually.
Sure, okay.
It really can. Generally speaking, you want the lifeline. Oh my, the lifeline, that's that one right there. That's Harvey said, the lifeline, God put the lifeline in your palm of your right hand because that's where your left thumb goes in a good grip. So God was looking out for us when he did that. Because that's right where they go together. Most people don't get that thumb and hand and really connected where it's supposed to be. They'll get their right hand and twist it over on top a little bit too far. That's probably where you had yours.
Mm-hmm.
Get up there. And so it needs to slide and fit just a little more in there. So the left hand can control the right hand a little bit more. That's the problem a lot of times with us right-handed golfers. If the left hand gets weak, the right hand takes over. That doesn't mean we're going to hook it. It just means it's going to may throw the club outside in, may do other things. It's very hard. Unless your grip is a little bit strong to get the club working from the inside, coming down through it. So that's really where that's so important that we get that grip on there. But yeah, it can, you know, where you see people get it stronger is especially people who interlock their fingers together, where they, you know, interlock them. They'll really go in too deep and really drive that hand in there. And now they're working that hand too far underneath. They really shouldn't be locked together. They should be laced a little bit together. That's one of the three grips that can be done really improperly sometimes. They'll really jam those fingers together, and now my right hand is gone underneath the club, kind of almost like they're like a motorcycle, revving it underneath it instead of just placing it right against the thumb. And Ben Hogan even said this, his grip tended to get a little bit weak later in his life especially, but he said the most important part of the grip he felt like was right there, that knuckle of his right hand, and it was right behind the club. So he felt like it was right behind it and supported it. So he went to hit it. He felt like it was just, there's my palm nice and flat. There's the club face. I can control the club. But most people, believe it or not, most people, once their left, even those who have a fairly weak grip with their left hand, most people, their right hand, if they're naturally right-handed, will be pretty close. They'll get okay with that. It's sometimes it'll start to move and get too strong when the left hand moves, and then they'll turn it under a little bit farther. where you see a lot of problems too with the right hand is they'll take their right thumb and kind of wrap it around the club instead of having the thumb either set right on top of the club, the grip, or a little off to the side. You don't want a big gap. You don't want to make a big gap between your thumb and forefinger right there and reach around, or it makes the hand really weak. You're just grabbing hold of it with your fingers.
Right.
You wouldn't pull the pencil that way. You wouldn't cast a fishing pole that way. You would put your thumb right on top so you could control where it went. Same thing with a golf grip. You've got to hold it right there. You don't wrap your thumb around like that.
For everybody listening to the audio version of this podcast, I would highly advise you to go to Golf Smarter TV so you can see exactly what Jim is talking about.
Can't do it without seeing what, yeah, you got.
Yeah, you know, he's showing, I'm looking at it, I'm watching, and it's making total sense to me. So if you're a little baffled by it, we will have this interview posted up on Golf Smarter TV so you can watch it from start to finish. So we go from grip to stance to alignment. There's just, you know, I guess that's the PGA, right? Position, grip, and alignment. I don't know how we can talk about all this because I would love to go through this entire notebook of content with you. Tell me, but we don't have time for that today. So, how do people get in touch with you so they can come down to Wolf Dancer and go to the Hyatt Regency and hang out for a long weekend and bring the family so they can be distracted while you're taking your golf school?
That's right. Then spend all day at the spa while Dad's out there.
Play with the animals, go for bike ride. It's such a huge property, too. You'd really never have to leave the property. Although Austin is so much fun, you don't have to leave the property. You can spend an entire weekend at the Hyatt Regency Las Pines.
You absolutely can. Best way to get a hold of me is the website, HarveyPinnickGolfAcademy.com, just all spelled out. And then it's got my phone number on there. You want me to give the phone number?
If you'd like, go ahead.
That's the best one, which is 512-547-8106. And just leave a message or someone will answer the phone and we'll set it up. We've got school scheduled. I think it's on the website. I just did it recently through June, I think. But the academies will go on all year.
Yeah. Thing about Austin is you got 12-month-a-year golf.
We can do them. You know, this February would have been absolute the greatest time. I should have had 50 students all February because the weather has just been perfect every weekend, which is unusual. But it's usually this way more in April when we get that. But now's the time. This is when we start to get busy. April, May, June are really start to get a little warmer, but get some great times down here and come enjoy Austin, Texas and the beautiful Hyatt Resort.
I know that you can Google this, obviously, but Pennick is P as in Peter, E-N-I-C-K.
Right.
Only one N.
Yeah. And it can be Pennick or Pennick. The family members actually say it both ways, Pennick or Pennick.
I'm not even going there. Yeah. So, Jim Hopkins, Director of Instruction at the Harvey Pennick Golf Academy. Thanks so much for your generosity, your time, and for coming on the show. And best of luck. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed spending the time with you and hope to see you again.
Well, I did too. Thank you. And if you ever just want to go through that book page by page, I'm open for it. I'd be glad to talk to you about it.
Thanks, Jim. As much fun as it was, and the fact that each of us walked away with at least one really valuable nugget, it's really not a great idea to take a lesson right before a round. No matter if you're in the Austin area or planning to go, and Austin gets multiple thumbs up for golf, food, entertainment, and overall vibe, get in touch with Jim at HarveyPennickGolfAcademy.com. As we do each week, this is just a small taste of the complete interview with Jim that's available when you subscribe to Golf Smarter Premium Access. In the full conversation, we get some great stories about Harvey Pennick and how the Academy got started by Golfsmith in the 90s before Harvey passed away. But we also get into more about the critically important basics that will enhance your ball striking ability. I promise you'll be completely surprised with some of the information that Jim shares. So try Premium Access out just for a month to hear what you've been missing. Oh, I forgot to mention that we recorded this on Skype instead of Blab this week, and the video didn't work. So unfortunately, it's only audio this week, but my sense is That's where you most Golf Smarter listeners are doing the audio because they have other things to do. But still, you are a lot of people watching the videos, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Hey, you know, I'd really like to know more about you and what you like and don't like about this podcast content, the videos, our website, you know, everything. So please, the survey that we have, it provides me with some very important information about what you want to hear more and less of. So if you could please go to golfsmarter.com right now, click on the survey icon to fill out our short multiple choice listener survey. While you're there, you can watch more of our videos, listen to past episodes, check out our Facebook and Twitter feeds. It's really, we've created, and I'm very proud of what we've done. Thank you, Paul. It's a one-stop shop for all your Golf Smarter content. Lastly, follow at Golf Smarter on both Twitter and Blab for announcements for our next Blab recording so that you can join in that conversation. Now, you know, are you interested in taking Jim up on his offer to go over the Harvey Pennock Cliff Notes page by page? If so, send me a note by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.